Have your Bibles, go to Hebrews chapter 4. I had another message rolling around my spirit, and I was seeking God last night, and that one's just not for today, but this one is. Amen? So we'll be obedient to what He has for us. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 is where we're going to go. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. We praise You, Lord. We worship You and honor You. Everybody say this with me. Say, God's word is God speaking to me. Say it again and mean it and believe it. Amen. God's word is God speaking to me. Amen. Father, we love You this morning. We're just so grateful, so thankful for all that You've done, all that You're doing, and all that You're going to do. Father, we have our hope, our expectation in You. Father, we're all facing different things this morning. But Lord, we ultimately know we're going to the other side. Father, we will get to the other side. And that other side is a side of victory. That other side is a side of prosperity. That other side is a side of peace of mind and joy and healing in our bodies. Protection and favor for our families and children. Father, we thank You we're going to the other side. And Father, right now we laugh. And we say in the face of circumstances that say otherwise, that we won't make it, that there won't be enough money, that the healing won't be there, that the situation won't turn around. We laugh in the face of those things and we say we're going to the other side. Everybody say, I'm going to the other side. Hallelujah. When that middle part, that storm talks to you, you need to speak back to it. Father, we thank You we're going and You're carrying us the whole way. Father, we thank You for the word this morning. This is a part of the puzzle that gets us to the other side, the ministering of the Word of God, the inspiration and the utterance from heaven that we'll receive this morning is our answer. This is our visitation. So we sit up straight spiritually. We get hungry spiritually. We say, this is our time. We turn our minds off and we tell our bodies to be quiet. This is our time to receive our help from heaven. So, Father, we thank You for what's about to be imparted. We thank You that it's the Word of God. And, Father, we don't give praise to a man. This is not about Pastor Mike Anderson. This is not about the family churches. This is about the Word of God and Jesus Christ, Your Son. So we exalt those things this morning. We magnify those things. And Father, we humbly remember that we're nothing without You. That apart from You, we can do nothing. So Lord, help us speak through me. As I open my mouth, I thank You. I will speak as the oracles of God. I will speak power from heaven. Words from heaven will flow for me this morning. Not because I'm some eloquent good speaker, but because the Holy Ghost is in operation in this church. So, Father, we thank You for speaking to us. We thank You for direction and revelation and insight. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 says this. It says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. I love this verse. I call this verse heaven's invitation. And say that with me again. Say, God's word is God speaking to me. Say, why do you get us to say that? Are we robots around here? No, I'm trying to get a reality into your life. Amen? I'm trying to get a revelation into your life. You know why we'll have little kids like Caleb in our house say his spelling words over and over and over again? Not because we want a robot, because we want to get a right answer on the test. Amen? And if you know that God's word, if that becomes a reality to you, because remember this, faith cometh by hearing. Hearing. So when you say it, guess what you're also doing? You're hearing. So if you'll say, God's word is God speaking to me, and believe that, this verse will be forever changed in your life. When you realize that this is God's word speaking to you, you'll look at this verse in a whole new light because this verse single-handedly can change your life. Why? It did mine. It did many other people that I know. Praise God. This verse has so much packed in it. But if you don't believe that this verse was specifically written to you, then you have an issue. Praise God. You won't get as much out of it. Hallelujah. If you don't believe that God sat down, because this is what I believe, you can call me crazy, you can call me nuts, I've been called them all, praise God. And that probably, some of it's probably true. But I am crazy for Jesus. I am a fool for Christ. Amen. I'm going on with God, whether you are or not, I'm going on with God. Amen. I'm going on with the things of God. I truly believe that when God sat down and spoke to the writer of Hebrews, some people say it's Paul, some people say they don't know. I personally believe it was Paul, but if we get to heaven and find out it wasn't Paul, oh well, it's still the Bible. Amen. But I believe whoever it was, you know, when the Holy Ghost spoke to them to write this, the Bible says all Scripture has been given by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. I truly believe God had Mike Anderson on his mind when he wrote this. And if you believe that God's Word is God speaking to you, you'll believe that God wrote this to you as well. That when God sat down and said, you know what, I need to speak this to the writer and they need to pen this, that you were on his mind. Well, I was on his mind because the Word's for me. And the Word's for you. And when the Word becomes personal like that, then you'll start doing the Word. The Word will become alive to you and you'll start benefiting from the Word. The Word just isn't alive to a lot of people. It's just another book. It's just a thing we do on a Sunday morning. It just sits on the shelves. No, this is the Word of God. Go to verse 12. It says, for the Word of God. What Word of God? That Word that God's speaking to you is quick and powerful. Sharper. Amen. I preached along these same lines last night. It's already coming out different. Praise God. The different things. Why? There's different people involved. For the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This is not just any old book. This is not just any old words on a page. No, this is the power of God to change your life. But some people just look at it as if it's nothing. Oh, just pastors up there preaching, doing what he does. No, the words that are coming out of your mouth have the ability to take everything in your life and turn it and change it. You say, are you bragging on yourself? No, I'm bragging on the words that I'm speaking. Amen. I don't have the power to change your life. And let me just tell you something. If you ever get the thought, oh, my pastor's arrogant, it's all about him, you've taken wrong thoughts to the devil because I know this ain't about me. Anything good that comes out of my life, I tell the Lord every day, Father, I want you to know it's because of you. If I have anything, if anything good, if I'm able to bless anyone, it's because of you. Why? Because I know myself better than anybody else knows me. I know my failures. I know my shortcomings. I know the laundry list of things that I need to fix, that I've had to fix, and things like that. Amen? But it's the words coming out. Amen? Hallelujah. You got to show up with an expectation that when that man of God opens his mouth, my help's coming. Amen. Oh, that's just Pastor Mike. That's just Pastor Mike. Well, we're not talking about Pastor Mike anyways. We're talking about the words coming out of his mouth. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. It's powerful. Go back to verse 16. This verse will help you. And I want to help you this morning. I want to look at a few things that the Lord pointed out to me. But you got to start by knowing, hey, this was an invitation. And when God sealed this invitation, Hebrews 4:16, it had my name on it. And God wanted this delivered to me. And God wanted me to open this. And God wanted me to read this. And God wanted me to benefit from this. And God wanted me to partake of what was there. If that's not the reality to you, you need to work on some things because it'll never work for you. Because why would it work for you if you don't believe it's real? If you don't believe the word's for you, why would you work it? Why would you do it? Amen? But it is for you. I want you to see number one, the first thing that jumps out to me, and it's so simple, but people, I'll just say this way, I'm still... Well, the only word that comes to my mind is flabbergasted by Christians that have been in church for years. I mean, even last night, I was talking to somebody that had been in church a long time, many years. And they say things about God after I just get done preaching. I'm like, my goodness, I need to preach this more. But the first thing we see here is that God's a good God. Amen? Amen? God's a good God. What does he say? Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Not the throne of condemnation, not the throne of anger, not the throne of disappointment, not the throne of displeasure. No, God is seated upon a very throne of grace, which he wants to extend that grace, which I always say, a good acronym for grace, I didn't make it up, I heard it, is God's riches at Christ's expense. Amen? That's a good acronym for grace. That's what God wants to extend to you. Why? That's where he's seated. Amen? Amen. And ladies and gentlemen, we're talking today about receiving from him and about getting things from him. We have to come and show up with a certain mindset and attitude in order to do so. Not everybody that are called Christians or children of God are living according to what God wants for them or has for them. And here's the thing you have to realize, if you'll just drop your pride, it's never on His side. He's perfect. He's loving all the time. He's merciful all the time. It's never on His. It's always on our end. So we want to learn how to be able to better receive. Now, don't let the devil tell you, oh my gosh, there's always so many things. No, every time you show up to service, that's your help. That's your meal. If God points something out that you're not doing it, walk out of here doing it. Amen. Well, that was real hard, wasn't it? I just told the devil, tells you it's so hard, it ain't hard. No, right. You know why it's not hard? Because I'm navigating through this. And I'm about the dumbest person in the world that comes, you know, naturally. Naturally, but with Jesus, I can do all things. Amen? Amen? That's the truth. He said, the throne of grace. Go with me to James chapter 1 and verse 16. I am amazed at some of the things that people think about when it comes to God. James chapter 1 and verse 16. Hallelujah. It says, do not err or get into error, my beloved brethren. So he's saying, before he goes on to even say what he's going to say next, he says, I don't want you to mistake it, be mistaken something here. I don't want you to be in the wrong idea about something here. Well, what's he talking about? Go to verse 17. Everybody say every. Every good and perfect gift is from above. What kind of gifts come from the throne of grace? Good and perfect ones. Good and perfect ones come from the throne of grace. He said, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness. That means no changing. He's not up one day, down the next. He's the same all the time. Neither shadow of turning. He doesn't change his mind. The throne that God sits on is a throne of grace. We talk about being a faith giant. You know truly why I believe that David was able to stand before Goliath as a shepherd boy, unskilled in war, against the mightiest champion of the land? Because I truly believe, first and foremost, he had a foundation of knowing God is good. That God is going to bless him. Amen? David said this in Psalms. He said, what would have become of me? Basically, my life would be a mess if I didn't expect to see the goodness of God every day. He said every day he had an expectation that God was good, that God was going to work something good in his life. Didn't he say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life? He was making a declaration. Now, where was that goodness and mercy coming from? The throne of grace. But David, who was a champion, who fought the bear, who fought the lion, who defeated Goliath, who had many battles in war, who was one of Israel's, potentially, Israel's greatest king they ever had. How was he able to do everything that he would do in the exploits? He expected every single day to see the goodness of God in his life. Amen. Are you convinced? Don't just say yes and sound good and amen me to sound like, oh, I got this. Are you convinced, ladies and gentlemen, that in your life right now, the areas in which you struggle with, the areas in which are mountains, the areas in which are troublesome for you, are you convinced without a shadow of a doubt that God absolutely wants to dive on that situation and implode all of His power and might, goodness and love on that thing and turn it around for the better? If you're not convinced, you have a problem with knowing how good He is. Amen? Amen? Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. Again, if you need help finding it, that's where the real crinkly pages are, the nice crisp pages in your Bible. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. We get an insight. One of the things about the Bible that I love is it's a picture into who our God is. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Well, He has the ability to see the whole earth with a glance. What's that mean? He's looking for people. Well, what's He doing? To show Himself. Now, what is Himself? Himself is His mercy. His goodness, His healing power, His prosperity, His favor, His protection, His wisdom. He's looking to show Himself. What's Himself? Anything that you need in your situation. If it's prosperity, that's part of Himself. If it's freedom from fear, that's part of Himself. He's looking to show Himself strong, not in a little way, strong. Do you see that there? Looking to show Himself strong on the behalf of them. So it's not everybody. So you know what God's looking for? He's looking for somebody to catch His eye. Amen? He's looking for somebody to catch His eye. As He's looking all over the earth. Looking all over the earth. He's looking for somebody to catch His eye. To what? To show Himself strong on their behalf. But why doesn't He? So when He's glancing over the whole earth, don't you think He's seeing some pretty sad things? Yeah. Don't you think He's seeing some of His children in poverty, in fear, in depression, in sickness? Why isn't He stopping and pouncing? Because He can't. On behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards Him. Now everybody sees that. They say, well, I'm disqualified. Amen. I'm disqualified. Remember this, ladies and gentlemen. This will help you. If you're looking for the perfect church, when you find it, make sure you don't go and ruin the whole thing. People leave churches for the dumbest reason. They're getting fed. Their whole lives change. Someone ticks them off. Pastor doesn't love them the way that they think they should be loved. Somebody says something. Somebody looks at them cross-eyed. Never mind that everything's changed in their life. Stop looking for the church to be perfect. It's filled with people. People are not perfect. Amen. Hallelujah. So He's not talking about being perfect. We can't be perfect. Now, we can grow in our maturity. But until we get to be like Jesus, we won't be completely perfect. We still live in flesh. Amen? He's talking about mature, but if you look in context, He was looking to move on the behalf of a king who at one time trusted Him, but this time didn't trust Him. And God's saying, I'm looking. I just want to pounce, but I got to find somebody that trusts me. What's trust? Trust is belief. Trust is faith. Amen? So He's looking to pounce on your situation. He's the one that's going to turn that poverty around. He's the one that's going to turn that sickness around. He's the one that's going to turn that defeat around. He's the one. He's the one, amen? But do you know that? Do you believe that? Praise God. I remember going to Rhema and hearing a class on the goodness, or it was a faith class, but they started with the goodness of God. I truly believe that's the foundation for all faith, believing that God actually wants to help you. Believing that God actually wants to do something for you. I remember hearing that about finding out that that's where faith grew. I just take the word for what it is. And when people above me are spiritual, I just listen to them. Amen. When they're preaching the word, I listen to it and do it. So I started going back in the Bible and looking at all the characteristics of God. All of His names, His covenant names, you know, Jehovah Shalom, which is that God of peace, Jehovah Jireh, God of prosperity, Jehovah Rapha, the God of healing, and all those different things. The El Shaddai, the God that's more than enough. And I looked at the life of Jesus, because Jesus was the picture of God on the earth. And I came to a conclusion, this guy's pretty darn good. This guy's pretty darn loving, pretty darn willing to help people. Amen? I remember going to the doctor with Abby when she was just a little baby. I had her that day and taking her to get her shots. And man, I dreaded that day. I was not looking forward to it because here she was, this precious, beautiful little thing. You know, I'd wanted a little girl for years, you know. And I had wanted a little girl so much that when she had gotten pregnant the first time, I just assumed it was a little girl because that's what I wanted so bad. And so we were calling Caleb Peach for a long time. So that's my little Peach in there until I found out, no, let's just change that. He's not a little peach anymore. He's a little mighty man in there. But I got my little peach, amen, and I was holding her that day, and they was going to get shots. And I'll tell you, I know this might sound dramatic, but for those of you that don't have a heart of compassion, you might not understand this, but man, that tore me up knowing that they're about to stick her, you know? Even though I knew she'll cry for a minute, I'll hug her and console her, and she'll go home and forget about it on the way home, amen? Shove a Cheerio in her mouth, and all be good, amen? Especially Abby. Just give her food, and life's better. Amen, hallelujah. And I remember sitting there just looking at her, and I started to cry. You know, I think, man, I'm so sorry. I just wish I could explain this better to you, and I wish you didn't have to do this. And even though I knew she'd be better, I knew it was good for her, you know. And the Lord opened up my heart. He said, imagine how I felt to have to see my son, even though he knew Jesus was coming out of the grave. Even though, now that just put it in perspective with me. We're talking about a little shot. that was nothing, that she's going to be fine with in a few minutes and not even remember and be completely. And yet the father knew for 33 and a half years that his son, he knew for eternity, his son was going to have a miserable end of his natural life on the earth. And people say, well, he knew he was getting him back. So what? I knew Abby was going to be okay. It didn't change anything for me. But it brought in perspective. And I walked out of there. After she had gotten done crying, I consoled her. I walked out of there rejoicing. I said, my car payment is no longer a problem from this point on. When I got the revelation of what the Father did for me, he went through that agony and that pain. Why did I do that for Abby? Because I know it's better for her in the long run. It was better for mankind in the long run for Jesus to endure what he did, and the Father, that was his will, his idea. Now, Jesus had to conform to it, and he did. But knowing what the Father must have gone through, his ability to love is greater than ours. His capacity to love and care is greater than ours. Imagine what he must have been going through. God's not a robot. He's a God of love. He's a God of love. So it must have tore him up to know what his son would have to face. But that he did it for me, I thought, car payment's never a problem. My mortgage payment, that's not a problem anymore. Praise God. This thing going on in people's body, that's not a problem anymore. He already gave you Jesus. Your healing pales in comparison to what he already did. Your finances pale in comparison to what he already did. That's why I'm amazed at Christians who have a wrong idea and a wrong perspective of God. There are Christians out there, mainstream Christianity, that preach that God's the taker away. That Job said God gives and God takes away. There are Christians that jump on board and say, the Bible says God gives and takes away. They fail to recognize that the guy that said it was ignorant as all get out. Didn't know a thing. His heart was right, but his doctrine was way off. If you can read, you can know that that wasn't God that took away from Job. That was the devil. And God restored everything the devil took, but gave him back double. That's your God in action. People misunderstand Job like crazy. And people say, oh, poor old Job. I'm just like poor old Job. Really? You're the wealthiest person in the world? Have the most favor in all the land? Yes. Darn right. Sign me up. Amen. People take a huge life in a small thing and they magnify. You know what the New Testament says about Job? One thing. All it talks about is his patience. Doesn't focus on what the majority of the body of Christ, all the pain and the suffering and everything Job went through. No, they talk about Job's patience. That's the only thing the New Testament thought worthy of mentioning about Job. Yeah. Amen, it's true. The patience, you've heard of the patience of Job. That's it. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise God is right. He was a blessed, blessed man and God restored everything. But, number one, if you don't know that God's a good God, you'll never go into what he has for you. Go back to Hebrews 4 and verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. The throne of grace. See, when you realize it's a throne of grace, you'll understand that's a safe place for me. Amen? Amen. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. When you realize that this is an invitation from the Father, you'll be more apt to RSVP for this party when you know where you're headed. The throne of grace. That's throne of goodness. Amen? Hallelujah. People laugh when I say that I truly believe I'm God's favorite, and I do that to get a laugh at times. But that's how much I'm convinced of how much he wants to work in my life. I'm utterly sold out to the fact that God loves me, that God wants to help me, that God wants to change every area of my life. If you're not that way, you need to go back to the beginnings and look at the throne of grace, find out how loving he is, how merciful he is, and get that built up, because you'll never leap into faith until you first have the foundation that God's backing you. You just won't. Number one is God's a good God. Number two, we see in this verse, he says, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So God invites us to get our help. Amen? Do you see that there? So number two, when we struggle, he is our answer. Amen. But you know what most people do? When I say most people, I'm not just throwing blanket general statements out there to sound dramatic or to be you know, to catch attention. It's the truth. When people struggle, a lot of times, they back away from the things of God. Their church attendance goes down. Their giving goes down. Their love walk goes down. Oh, yeah. Their countenance goes down. Why? Instead of running to their answer, they're letting the devil push them farther and farther away. It's kind of like this. The center is God. From God radiates all the goodness, power, and mercy that we need. The closer we are to that, we're like Moses. We come out of his presence changed. The farther we get away from God's presence, the more like the world, the more like the devil we become. It's just true. He says, come to me when you struggle. I'm sitting on a throne of grace and I want to help you in time of need. James chapter 5 in verse 13. I'm amazed at how people have their faith in the prayer chain. How people have their faith in the pastor praying. How people have their faith in all everybody else knowing about their situation. We just want to blab our situations. Why? We're more looking for someone to console us than we are someone to help us. It's true. Because people talk to people that can't do a lick about their problem. It's the truth. Say, oh, that's uncompassionate. No, I'm trying to get you help here. And the Bible do the talking. Don't let me say it. Should we not talk about our problems? That's not what I'm saying. And love one another, that's not what I'm saying. But when you go there looking for your help, and there's a Savior sitting on a throne of grace that's wanting to help you, and you don't go to Him, you're backwards. Yeah. Look what James 5 verse 13 says. Is any among you afflicted? That means any among you going through a problem. The NIV says, is any among you in trouble? That could be financially, physically, could be in your job, could be in a relationship, could be with your family, could be with your children. Who knows? Fill in the blank. The Message Bible said, is any among you hurting? Let him go to God. That's what praying is communication, relationship with the Father. Is any among you facing a big decision? Why are you talking about it with everybody else and getting opinions and doing pros and cons lists? Go to God. Anybody stuck in a financial situation, and you'll say, I'm tithing, I'm giving, I'm speaking, yet things aren't changing. Go to God. Find out why. I'm amazed. People just stay in the same things, same things. Listen, if you want an answer bad enough, God will give it to you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Go to Matthew 17 and verse 14. It's ridiculous that when we struggle, the last person we think to seek and fall down to is God. Listen, when stuff hits the fan, most Christians' response is not run to Him. It's run to the pastor, run to a family member, run to a friend, put it on Facebook. It's wrong. It's out of order. You're doing things backwards. He's your solution. He's your answer. He's your help. Praise God. Matthew 17 and verse 14. Praise God. I want to get people turned towards heaven. Are you saying, Pastor, never call you when I'm going through something? No, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to point you to God. If you need help getting pointed the right direction, call me, text me. But I'm going to point you that way. And let me just say this for the record. If you refuse to go that way, that's not my fault. If you refuse to do the word, that's not my fault. If you refuse to go the direction I tell you, that is not my fault. I'm going to take responsibility for it. Amen? And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Christians, beware. Watch out for people that come and try to suck the living life out of you. You know what your job is when people come to you? The same job mine is. Point them to the Word. Amen. Point them to the Word. Amen? Amen? I don't mind. Hug them, console them, and love on them. Yes, but point them to the Word. If they won't go the Word's way, not your fault. There's no help for people outside of this. Now, there's some natural self-help things, and there's natural things and remedies, but nothing like this. There's no counselor on planet Earth that can counsel people as good as the Word of God can counsel people. Amen. There's no 12-step program that can do what the Word of God can do. Not saying God can't use natural things, but I'm saying it doesn't trump the Word. You point to people towards the Word. If they won't do it, you're not their Jesus. Don't take responsibility. That's one of the things I've had to learn. I've at times taken the weight of the world on me, and my pastor had to tell me, you are not their Jesus, Pastor Mike. Your job is to point them to Jesus, and if they won't go, that's not your fault. It's true. Yeah. Matthew 17 and verse 14. And they were come. The multitude there came to him, a certain man kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered, said, so Jesus wasn't thrilled by his response that his disciples couldn't handle this. Oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. I love it. Jesus didn't hold back. Man, sometimes I think if I was as bold as Jesus, we wouldn't have a church. I'm telling you, as thin-skinned as people are, if Jesus were here, I mean, he told the devil, Peter, get behind me, Satan. You imagine if you guys did something, I said, get back out of here, devil. Oh, Beazer called me the devil. I'm going to a different church. It's the truth. Thin-skinned Christians won't get anywhere in life. It won't, because the devil will prey upon your thin skin. Amen? People get offended all the time. People, you can't say anything to you. I walk on eggshells. No, it ain't the way to be. It's time to take our diapers off and put big boy undies on. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oftentimes fall into the water. And I brought him to your disciples. They could not cure him. Jesus said this to him, rebuked him. And Jesus rebuked the devil, verse 18. He departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus and said, they got rebuked, but I love the wisdom of them and the smarts of them. When they came up against something they didn't understand, when they came up against something they didn't know, when they needed an answer, guess what they did? They didn't call the prayer chain. They didn't come desperately running to the pastor to find. No, they just asked who could be asked, right? Jesus, why couldn't we do this? What's our problem? They went north, didn't they? I'm always going to point your compass north. Praise God to Jesus. Jesus, why couldn't we do this? And then Jesus explained to him. My point being, why when people face things on earth that they can't get past, that they struggle with over and over again, why don't they just go to God? Why don't they just go to God? He promised you in Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, call unto me and I will answer you. Call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He promised you that. But guess what? He said for you to call him. That means he's not picking up his phone to tell you the answer without you first calling him. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God is right. Hallelujah. Well, can I say something that will help us grow up a little bit? Pastor never calls me and tracks me down. You know, people get mad at me about things, and I had no idea they were in the hospital, had no idea they were going through stuff. I'm like, it'd be nice if someone would tell me so I could put my faith on it. Well, pastor's not calling me. Listen, there's a whole lot more of you than there is me. Yeah. And you know what? It's out of order. It's out of order for the shepherd to seek the sheep. The sheep seek the shepherd. You want to know something? You have questions about something? You need help? Come to me. And don't let some stupid idea of the devil, he's too busy. No, no, no. I've laid my life down for the sheep. Don't tell me how busy I am. You don't know my schedule. I know you're trying to be sweet, but knock it off. I'm sent to you. Amen? You need help. You need an answer. You need direction in the Word. You need some counseling. Come ask me. Praise God. But don't expect me to seek you out in every single area of your life. It's not right. It's backwards. They came to Jesus. Notice Jesus didn't cast out the devil, take care of the problem, and then say, this is why he couldn't do it, boys. No, they came to him. Why couldn't we do it, Jesus? Jesus said, okay, now I'll come. Why? Because he said, seek and you'll find, knock and it'll be open, ask and you'll receive. Every single one of those things start with the people doing something, then God doing something. Amen. I don't get it. When people have big decisions they're facing, when they're struggling over and over again, when things don't change, why aren't we finding out why? Don't you want to know how to have a different life? Don't you want to know how to be blessed? Amen. If your business isn't working, your finances aren't working, a relationship's not working, things are going wrong with your kids, ask God. And he'll say, okay, do this, do that. Amen. Amen. I'm wondering if people, number one, believe in God, really like believe that what he is. But number two, I'm wondering if they're afraid to hear what they might hear. Yeah. Amen. This is the truth. But God's got the answer. It's a throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. What's he saying? I have all your answers. I have all your help. I have all your direction. I have everything you need. Come to me. Hallelujah. So number one, God's a good God. Number two, when we struggle, go to him. Number three, go back to Hebrews 4 and verse 16. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. Hallelujah. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This verse tells us our God is good. This verse tells us that he's inviting us when we have a problem, praise God, anything we need. Notice he didn't say come to us when everything's working out. No, he says, I want you to come to me in your worst times, in your most struggling times. I want to be your answer. Hallelujah. Well, how loving is he? He's not bothered by it, praise God. He's going to teach you how to be in faith, just like your pastor. Well, I'm not bothered by it when people come to me, but I'm going to tell you faith, and I'm going to point you in the right direction. But this is what I want you to see. Yes, he's good, and yes, he said, I'm here when you are struggling. But notice this, ladies and gentlemen. He didn't say that you can show up any way you want to. He didn't say you can come to this party any which way. You know, show up at the throne of grace with your doubting and unbelieving. Show up to the throne of grace with your complaining, your moaning and groaning, your backbiting. You treat Christians like dirt. You talk back behind their back. And all. Show up any way you want and you'll just receive from me because that's just who I am. Nope. He said if you want to receive from his throne of grace, you got to show up with something. That word's boldness, isn't it? He said, show up boldly. Boldly. He said, because he's offering us help for what we need. So our money's here. The actual dollar bills aren't there, but the answer's there for the dollar bills to come on the earth. The actual healing might not be there. It has to manifest in the earth, but that's where it starts. He said, come to me. I have your answers for every single thing in your life. I want to help you with it. But in order to access these answers, you need to show up, number one, and you need to show up with boldness. Amen. Or it won't work. Right. Hallelujah. So how then do we show up in the presence of Almighty God who has our answers with the boldness it's required to receive? Well, think about it this way. I remember I'll use this example again. I can't think of a better one. I let Caleb stay home for the Super Bowl this year. You know, when I grew up, I wasn't allowed to do that kind of stuff. And certain things I said when I was younger, man, when I have a son, I can't wait to do things different. And that was one of the things. He's going to stay up late, watch Super Bowl, and sleep in the next day. I don't care if they're school. Caleb was talking about an award they get at school for perfect attendance. He was talking about, I said, buddy, you ain't never getting that award. I said, why? Because we got turkey hunting. We got the World Series. We got the Super Bowl. We got whatever we want to do. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. I love school and I honor school, but I'll tell you what, there's things I'll tell you what, him staying up and watching the Cubs win the World Series with me and staying home the next day, he'll never forget that. Amen? So if you're back there thinking, you just keep your to yourself. You can hang your child's perfect attendance award on the fridge if you want to, but my kid ain't getting that one. Praise God. I love school. You understand what I'm saying. But anyways, he stayed home. Now, when he wakes up the next day, say dad forgets, you know, or kind of, you know, just, you ever have a moment in the morning, you know, you ever been like me and you go to put the milk back in where the cereal bowl is? You've had those moments, right? I'm not the only one. I see people shaking their heads. Yeah. Well, you know, you have moments in the morning. Let's say in the morning I get up and I look at the clock. I say, oh my gosh, buddy. It's 7:45. He usually leaves between 8 and 8:15. It's 7:45. You're still in your PJs. We gotta get going. We gotta get going. Well, he's gonna be able to say to me, because I'm the one that gives the yes or the no, whether he gets the blessing of staying home or not. He's gonna be able to say to me boldly, Dad, you said I don't have to go to school. And then because I'm a good dad and not a liar, I will say, that's right, buddy. Receive your blessing and stay home. Yeah. Amen? He can wake up that morning confidently knowing I can stay in my PJs all morning. I can walk out of here and not do my normal routine and be bold about it. Why? Because he knows the will of dad. He knows daddy's will. But Caleb can wake up another day, let's say Tuesday, you know, he has to go to school tomorrow, he wakes up Tuesday, he can want all he wants. Think of, I'm going to lay in my PJs all day. I'm going to play with my Legos all day and my Kinects and play on my iPad and do different things, and I'm not going to school. He can walk out confidently as much as he wants to, but he'll never have the same confidence unless he first knows that dad said, yep, Tuesday you're off too. Yeah. You want to go into God's throne room with boldness like you belong to receive? First thing you got to do is you got to know Daddy's will. Because if you know His will, because remember, He's got what you need. If you know His will, you'll walk right in there and say, "But Dad, you said you'd meet all my needs. You said you'd heal my body. You said you'd do this, Father." And you'll be bold and say, "Lord, I'm coming to get it, praise God." You say, "Oh, that's arrogance." No, that's the Bible. Go to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. Listen, I haven't been around too much, but I've been around the block a little bit in Christianity, and I talk to people. You'd be amazed at the way people pray. It's just full of doubt and unbelief. Full of doubt and unbelief. "Oh, Lord, I wouldn't if I were you. Oh, Lord, probably not. Oh, Lord, I've done this. Oh, Lord." Well, what does God say about it? In Isaiah 43:26, He tells you this. "Put me in remembrance." What's He saying? Remind me of what I've said. Remind me of what I said. Not because He forgot, because by you reminded Him, tells Him, you know something. Yeah. If I say, "Caleb, come on, we got to get going to school." Would it be dishonorable, disrespectful, and arrogant if Caleb comes out and I say, "Buddy, come on, we got to go," after the Super Bowl in the morning, and he just thinks, "Oh my gosh, Dad doesn't know. Dad doesn't know he said it. I just better be quiet and just not say anything and go to school." Is it okay for him to say, "Dad, you said..." That's okay for him to do that. And God says, "Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare," He's saying, "declare that the result will be you'll be justified." Let me give you an example of putting Him in remembrance and declaring. I remember one time a bill showed up. I do this a lot of times. This represents a bill here. A bill will show up that I don't have the money to pay for. And I don't have it. It doesn't look like it's going to come. And there I have a choice, you know. The throne of grace. My answer's with Him, amen. I don't have the money. My income doesn't have the money. My checkbook doesn't have the money. My savings account doesn't have the money. But a bill shows up. So I have a choice. I can believe God or believe the circumstance. So what I do is I do the Word. I know that He wants this need paid for without a shadow of a doubt. Why? Flip over to Philippians 4 and verse 19. Philippians 4 and verse 19. See why it's a problem if you don't know any Bible? You see why it's a problem if you're not in church hearing the Word? Because when situations rise up, you'll know nothing of what to stand on. And you got to know that you know if you're going to receive, because He doesn't just dish out the blessings to everybody. He says, "But my God shall supply all your needs." So this need that shows up is part of this verse, according to His riches and glory. So I'll say to Him, I'll do Isaiah 43:26. And I will dramatically wave this across my room and in His face. I'll say, "Father, remember, you said in Philippians 4:19, and I want to remind you, you shouldn't have said it." I've learned that with my kids. You say something to them, they remember. And if I didn't really want to take them to the park, I shouldn't have said it. If I didn't really want to take them to get a toy at Walmart, then I shouldn't have said it. Because they don't forget. And all the parents said, amen, it's true. But that's good. They should be able to take us at our word. They should be able to say, "Mom said, Dad said." We ought not to let our kids down. Now, situations, circumstances come up and things change. We should be able to explain to them, and they ought to be reasonable. But we ought to make it up to them. Amen. If we said it, praise God. And I hold my daddy responsible. I say, "Father, I just want to remind you. You said in Philippians 4:19, you meet all my needs. You shouldn't have said it if you didn't mean it, but I know you did. So, Father, I thank you right now for the money. This is not my bill. This is not my problem. This is your problem. And I thank you." Say, that's arrogance. No, that's taking Dad at what he said. Yes. You just said it wouldn't be a problem for Caleb to say, "Dad, you said I could stay home." No, he should be able to say that. Amen. Yes. So go real quick to Matthew 14. We're almost done. Matthew 14. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 26. It's important that you know that before this, the Bible says that the ship was in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves. It wasn't a calm glass night out on the water. It was one of those Lake Erie fishing trips that I went on. I'll never go again. First time I ever went, I spent most of my time over the boat, throwing up everything that I had in me. And I said, I will never go fishing on Lake Erie again. And I will never go fishing on Lake Erie again. He said, oh, that was just a one-time thing. I don't care. I'm not going to live to find out a second time. I'm not doing it. I've had people ask me, say, nope, that was one of the worst experiences of my life. Not doing it. I went down below in the bottom and just curled up in a ball and just didn't want to look at anything, didn't want to think anything. It was awful. Woo, I just couldn't. I tell you what, I just wanted to, you talk about wanting to make out with the pavement when you got back. I wanted to make out with the pavement. Praise the Lord. He said, would I say verse 26? When the disciples saw him walking on the sea that was tossed with the waves, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit. They cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it's not I. Be not afraid. Peter answered, said, Lord, if it's you, invite me onto the water. Now, what in the world? Remember, God said boldness receives from him. Boldness. Boldness is somebody showing up saying, Father, you said healing's mine. I'm not leaving until I get it. You said an answer's mine. You have all the answers. You said if I call on you, you'll answer me. And not leaving that place till you get it. What would give Peter, you want to know what gave Peter boldness? To do what any professional fisherman would never do in the midst of the sea during a storm. Because what did Peter do? He got out of the water, or out of the boat, onto the water. That's the dumbest thing you can do in a storm. But what would give Peter the boldness to do it? Verse 29, Jesus said, come. The word of God, or knowing the will of the Father, put such a boldness in him to do something that totally defied all the odds. All the natural laws and logics of science, it defied them all. Simply one thing, the boldness to get out of that boat came from knowing the will of God. Faith, ladies and gentlemen, that you need to receive begins where the will of God is known. Once you know healing is yours, a faith and a boldness is built up to go get it. Once you know prosperity and victory and all these things belong to you, once you know it, not that you hear pastor preaching about it or what his examples are, but once you know it, just like when I was in Bible school, I took the time to get to know my God. When I've gone through financial tests and trials, I've taken the time to get to know my God. Why? I need boldness to go receive. Amen? And I remember holding him $2,000 short, holding Caleb in that glider rocker chair and saying, Father, I thank you. Not I'm hoping. I was full expectation. All my bills are paid on time, all the time, every single time. Father, I thank you for a supernatural debt payoff. Father, I thank you for a salary with benefits. I thank you. It will come to pass. I will not miss a payment. I will not be late. I didn't just was hoping for that. I knew that was belonging to me, and I went to them boldly. Why? I found out what was his will. So ladies and gentlemen, you need to take time to find out God's will. Amen. Well, I don't know. That's your problem. That's right. It's stupid to not know his will. It's an open book test. Amen. Open book. Well, what's his will? I don't know. Find out. I say, what about when I have to buy a house or buy a certain car or a certain relationship, you know, and it doesn't really specifically say, he gave you the word on the inside. Right. Seek him until you find out. Amen. So many people just jump without even knowing. They just jump without even knowing. You know, if Peter just sees Jesus, oh, it's Jesus, and jumps out of the boat. Ooh, he's going down. Yeah. Help Peter. Yeah. He needed a word first. Yeah. Amen? Yeah, so now we'll close with this portion of Scripture, Matthew chapter 9 and verse 27. Why is this so vital? Let me show you why this is vital, to show up boldly to receive. Matthew 9 and verse 27. And then I'm going to make a statement about faith and I don't ever want you to forget it. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. Now, don't you think Jesus knew they were blind? Yeah. Yes. And when he was come into the house, verse 28, the blind men came to him and Jesus said to him, believe? Do you have faith is what he's saying? That I'm able to do this? Do you have faith? Do you believe? They said unto him, we do. See, he already knew that they knew he was willing because they were following after him. But now he needed to know, do you really believe I'm able to do this? And then verse 29 says this. Then he touched their eyes, saying, now here we go. Don't ever miss this. Why is this so important? According to your faith. Be it unto you. Why couldn't Jesus just heal them? He first had to find out, do they have faith to receive? Why? Because your problem getting fixed is solely up to you. Yeah. Amen. God's already said my answer is yes, but I need to know what your faith level is according to your faith. So you're looking to God, he's looking back at you, and he wants to know where your faith is. Do you have faith for that situation to turn? Do you have faith for that healing to come, for that money to come? Because God's answer is yes, I want to, yes, I can, yes, I'm able, but I'm not going to follow through with it until I find out what you have. Now, don't forget this statement about faith. It'll change your life. Faith is like a blank check. You fill it in for what you need. Mark 9 and verse 23 says, all things are possible. So that tells us the bank account is unlimited. What kind of a withdrawal you make on the bank account is up to you. If he says, here's a blank check, well, that blank check can pay for the healing. That blank check can get you the prosperity you need. That blank check can get you what do you need for your job, for your business. But ladies and gentlemen, you fill in them out. And let's be honest, most Christians, when they fill out pay to the order of, and then the amount is, oh, I just pay my bills. No, let me tell you something. When I fill in my blank check for faith, this is what it is. Every single one in my family healed and whole from head to toe every single day of their life. It's in the account. That account can back that up. Amen. Prosperity every single month over and above to pay all my bills, to be able to give into every good work. And by the way, I am super generous to this place. I give into Reverend Greer. I give into Pastor Nancy. I give into Pastor Webb. I give into Brother Chris D'Amico. I give into who else? The Walkers over in Spain, we even like them. Yeah, we support a whole lot of stuff. And then there's things I give we'll never get a tax receipt for. So I can, why? But I'm confessing that. That's prosperity. God said in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, prosperity is you having enough for yourself and enough left over to give into every good work. But I don't stop there. I also fill out, you know what? I want comfort and fun for my family. I don't want to just skimp by the skin of my teeth and just get by. That's not heaven on earth. But if you want that, that's what you can fill out for you. The thought of you taking a vacation is so beyond you. Why? God wants you to have it. The thought, well, I just fill it in for, well, if I just get a rusty old beater that takes me from A to B, I'll be happy. Okay, that's the check you cashed. That's what you'll receive. If you show up at the bank to cash a check that says rusty beater, don't expect a nice one. But I'm expecting a nice vehicle, and I'm expecting to live in the good of the land, I'm expecting to wear the good of the land, I'm expecting to eat the good of the land, I'm expecting to drive the good of the land. That's heaven on earth. I'm sorry, but that's what Daddy says is mine. Amen. For the purpose of being blessed for the kingdom, not to be selfish with it. But what I'm finding out is when the hose is watering, the hose is soaked. And as I'm watering, I'm staying wet. Praise God. Would you fill it in? What do you want? What do you need in life? Expand your horizons of your thinking that God's bigger than this small skip by God that we've cashed little checks from him. It'd be like Donald Trump giving you a blank check and you go to the bank and write it for $100. That's what Christians do with God. He's way better and bigger and have more than Donald Trump, and we're just cashing these little checks every week. Oh, I just would be just so happy if I just paid my bills on time for once. That's what you're cashing in? How about I want to be supernaturally debt-free and I'm never going to have a problem ever again? You might not be there now, but you'll get there. Because I remember being there and confessing for that, and now I'm there, praise God. Hallelujah. Christians ought to be the picture of prosperity and joy and victory, but we'll get there by faith. We'll get there by faith, amen? So start writing checks according to your faith, amen? Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. We're so thankful, so grateful for your word. Hallelujah. We honor you this morning. Let's just praise him. I look around. Hallelujah. If there's anybody here, you say, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. Let's take care of that real quick. Say, how do I go to heaven? Well, you just got to believe in Jesus. That's all. If you believe Jesus died and rose again and you want him to come into your heart, then heaven is available to you. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, you say, I want to go to heaven, but I'm not sure if I'd ever go there. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you can say, I'm not sure I would go to heaven, but I want to, would you just lift your hand in the air? Anybody at all in here that says, I don't know that I'd go to heaven, but I want to? Anybody at all don't know that they're going to heaven when they pass from this earth? Anybody? Father, I don't see any hands in here, and that doesn't surprise me as I looked around, so I'm trusting we're all born again on our way to heaven. But if by chance somebody listening by live stream or in the future by archives, they're not saved and born again, I pray they would not pass from this life till they make Jesus their Lord. I pray you'd send laborers, do whatever it takes to show them your goodness. And I pray that they would simply call on your name to be saved. Now let's all just worship him right now. I want you to start saying, God, you are good. God, you are a big God. God, you are a mighty God. God, you are a helping God. God, you are a merciful God. Why? You got to get it in your mind. You got to get it in your heart that He's big, strong, able, and willing to help you. That He's just looking to pounce on your situation, but He needs your boldness. He needs your faith. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to make sure that every day I'm catching the attention of my Father. Because once He sees faith, He's obligated to go that direction. Let me say that again. Once God sees a person that's in faith, He's obligated to go that way. So we need to catch His eye. We worship You, Father. We bless You and magnify You and honor and praise You. We thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your love. Father, is there anything You want to do before we close? We always want to make sure that we give You an opportunity to interrupt our services. Praise God. You can look up here. I had another lady in Olean last night. We've been having lots of healing. She came up to me and she said, I've been dealing with a stomach situation for 6 months. She said, You called it out in service. I came up and hands were laid on me and it was gone. Praise God. We had a couple people come up here, Michelle and Sean, that come up for spots. They had had spots for years, and their eyes, we laid hands on, they're gone. If you say, well, they didn't leave me yet, keep saying they will. Praise God. You say, I had hands laid on me, and the symptoms are still there. Wake up and say, I thank You, Father, I'm healed. Amen? Amen. But we've been having some wonderful testimonies, and I encourage you, please get me your testimonies. We need to share these things. People need to hear these things. So, Father, is there anything before we close that You want to do? If not, Lord, we were fed and we were blessed and we received today, Father. Whether or not we have a prayer line or not, we thank You, Lord. Anything else You want to do before we close? Father, I don't have anything in my heart. Lord, I know I'm human, can miss it, but I'm going to unhook right there. So we thank You, Father. We thank You that the food, and bless everybody that took time to make something, buy something, bring something, Father. Bless this food to our body. We thank You for this time of fellowship and fun, and we just praise You and give You glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Don't forget Wednesday night, 6:30, you're dismissed.
Now here with us, the sound of praise, all in the name Jesus Christ, the one who saves, the shout of the King, the Son of God, Your presence now here with us, the sound of praise, all in the name Jesus Christ, the one who saves. All you people rise, all you people
name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name have I ever. your sweet.